All right, being an effective manager, task number 8, honest communication. The great killer of organizations. Proverbs 16:28, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. What is gossip? Gossip is talking negatively about someone who is not there to defend themselves. Well, why do people gossip? Why in an organization do people, why do staff members gossip? Why do church members gossip? Why in every single company do people gossip? Why would you talk negatively about someone who is not there? Number one, it makes those gossiping feel superior. And if I'm talking about an associate of mine in a negative manner with someone else, you know, I heard Pastor Bob do a little preaching the other day. I hadn't heard him, and I thought his sermon was really shallow. Really? I thought the same thing. Really? Yeah. I mean, he didn't even deal with the, you know, and as we're talking, of course, my sermons are not shallow. My sermons are not all the negative things that I'm saying about his sermons. And if he's here, then I'm up here. So it just, I'm talking negatively about someone. And of course, they can't defend themselves. I can slant it any way that I want. I can see it in the worst possible light. And that just makes mine look better. Number two, jealousy. I'm in competition with someone. I'm feeling insecure because maybe their sermons are better. People like it when he preaches, not when I preach. And so when he does, I'm trying to knock him down to my level. Why do people listen to gossip? I mean, not only do people gossip, but people have to be listening. If no one would listen to gossip, then no one would gossip. So someone is enjoying listening. Why? It makes those listening feel superior. So as I'm listening to you say something negative about someone else, I'm feeling superior to that person too. Number two, it makes the whole group feel like they're part of some alliance. You know, we're part of this in crowd. So if three of us are talking negatively about someone else, somehow our united front against someone else who's not there to defend themselves, somehow as we unite together against that person, it makes us feel like we're a team. Hey, yeah, you know, I feel the same way that you do. Ah, we must be on the same page. There's this connection that we feel. Well, how does gossip then kill an organization? Why does talking negatively about someone who's not there to defend themselves, why does that hurt organization? And believe me, it does. I've seen one organization that I was a part of, the gossip literally took it from a big, successful organization to a small, struggling one. Number one, if people are willing to talk about someone negatively behind their back, they will certainly be willing to talk about you negatively behind your back. So you're talking with someone, you know, we're on the golf course and we're talking negatively about someone else and we're enjoying it. You know, like we're in cahoots. We're both feeling good about how superior we are to that person. And it feels like we're on the same team. But if the person I'm talking to is willing to talk about someone else negatively behind their back, why wouldn't they end up talking to someone else about me negatively? And most assuredly, they will. So once you start talking negatively about someone who's not there to defend themselves, you'll talk about anyone negatively behind their back. So number two, people tend to believe the gossip they hear. Hey, did you hear what Sandy did? No, tell me all about it. Well, I heard, and then they say something, and you tend to believe it. Why would you tell me a lie? Why, you know, even when you ask people that, well, are you sure it's true? Yeah, I heard it from Bob, and I don't know why he would make it up. I mean, who would make up this stuff? So people tend to believe the gossip that they hear. And as the gossip goes around, the story gets worse and worse. Maybe you played that game where, you know, you have 20 people, young people will get together in a room and they'll play this game and they'll whisper some little story. And then the next person has to whisper it to the next person and the next person, and it goes around. And by the time it goes all the way around the room, the story is hardly recognizable because people don't, either they don't hear the story accurately, or they don't communicate the story accurately, or someone misinterprets, or they misunderstand, and then that grows and changes, and soon the story is nowhere near the truth. But everyone thinks they're getting the exact thing right, that gossip is true. There's no way a person can defend themselves against the gossip going around, round about them. So, as the gossip goes around, finally it gets back to the person that the gossip is about. They can hardly believe the story; it's unrecognizable, and they want something to happen. So they find out who started this. They go to him and say, "Hey, what is the deal?" And it's almost impossible to not look defensive and not look guilty, because now you're angry, you're frustrated, and the more you try to defend yourself, the more guilty you look. Even if the two people that are involved, the person who started the gossip and the person that it's the gossip is about, even if these two people sit down and talk things through, there's no way to go back and correct everyone that heard the original gossip. So gossip goes from one person to another person to another person to another person, and soon it gets all over the place. The person that's being gossiped about finally goes to the person who started it. They talk and they, "Oh, I see, it was a misunderstanding. Oh, I see what's going on." And now they've resolved it, but how are you going to go and resolve it with all the people that heard some crazy story? It's impossible to go to everyone and change the story. So people still have this negative feeling out there. Number six. The result is anger, distrust, and more gossip. Now I'm going to start gossiping about the person who gossiped about me. Soon no one trusts anyone. So in an organization, soon I don't know who to trust. I don't know what is true. I don't know what is not true. No one knows the truth, and no one dares speak the truth. I don't dare confront someone. I don't dare say what I really think, because I don't know what you're going to do with it, what you're going to say to someone else. You're going to take your version of what I said, and it's going to get changed. Remember meeting with someone from my church, and they were grumpy. They didn't like anything. No matter what we did at church, they didn't like it. So I was visiting with them, with an elder, and they were complaining about everything under the sun. Finally, I looked at him and I said, "Well, why do you go to this church then? I mean, if you don't like anything, then why do you go?" And they didn't say anything to that. And then we left. And later on, I found out that they were running around telling people that I kicked them out of the church, that I told them to leave the church. That was their version of it. And I'm like, "What? I didn't ask anyone to leave the church. I simply asked, why do you go? Because you don't like anything." So soon you don't dare say anything because you're afraid someone's going to misunderstand what you say, and then they're going to start telling everyone, and then everyone's going to believe what they say. You know, why would the pastor kick you out of the church, and why would you lie about that? So people tend to believe what they hear. Well, how can a manager create a culture of honest communication? Without honest communication, you don't know where you're at with anything. And the whole organization is going to fall apart. Matthew 18. I mean, Jesus addressed this exact issue. Matthew 18. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won the person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. So someone offends someone. How does this work? So number one, Bob, let's say Bob, does or says something that offends Sue. You know, he says something insensitive and Sue gets offended. Sue must go to and talk about the offense with Bob. That's what Matthew 18 says. Bob says something offensive, at least it is to Sue. Sue should then go directly to Bob, not to someone else, but directly to Bob and talk to him about it. If Bob does not listen or the issue can't be resolved, Sue is now free to talk to someone else about it. Let's say Mary. So Sue then must bring Mary to Bob eventually to try to resolve the issue. So Sue is offended, goes to Bob. Bob doesn't listen. Sue now goes to Mary, tells her all about it. But now Mary and Sue must go to Bob and try to resolve the issue. Number five, if that doesn't work, the leaders get involved. That's how Matthew 18 is supposed to go. But this is how it usually goes. Bob does or says something that offends Sue. Sue knows that Bob won't listen to her complaint, so she does not talk to him, but instead talks to a good friend, Mary, who is more than willing to sympathize with Sue. You know, Sue's my friend. I care about how she feels. She's all upset. And so now Mary has this negative opinion about Bob. She didn't see the incident. She didn't hear what Bob said, but she assumes that Bob is as guilty as Sue is painting the picture. Mary then talks to others in the organization, and eventually the story, which is exaggerated, gets back to Bob. So now this story goes around, this exaggerated thing finally gets to Bob, and Bob doesn't know even that Sue was offended at all. So Bob is now really angry. He's angry that Sue didn't come to him directly. He's angry about this exaggerated story. That's not what happened at all. And so he talks to Sue, and let's say, unbelievably, that they even resolve the issue. They, you know, I didn't really mean what I said. I mean, people could get offended by almost anything. I remember when I went to Vancouver, I was going to see if I wanted to go there to be the church planter of a new church. And there was a few families that wanted to help do that. And so we had this little worship service with 10 families. And I came there, and just before the worship service, I had my guitar there. One of the people in this group had brought their guitar, and it was a little guitar. It was just a half-size guitar. I don't think she played that much or anything, but I made this little comment. I said, oh, a baby guitar. That's all I said, a baby guitar. Well, I came and I planted the church. 3 years later, this same person was on our elder board. And she told me how offended she was 3 years before when I had said baby guitar. I mean, I didn't mean anything by it at all, but she felt like I was saying, you know, you don't have a real guitar, or perhaps you're not very good, or I don't know what she was thinking. But she was offended by that for 3 years. I knew nothing of it. So people can easily get offended, and you have no idea that you offended someone. So finally, Bob and Sue talk it over, and they go, you know, I didn't mean anything by it, and they somehow resolve it. Okay, but Mary is not going to be able to talk to everyone who heard the negative, exaggerated version of Bob's complaint. I mean, everyone that heard this story, you're not going to be able to go back and try to change their minds about the whole thing. And even if you sort of do, they have in the back of their minds that Bob is an offensive character. And if Bob ever does anything remotely offensive, they're going to go, oh yeah, I remember, Bob is that kind of person. So all of a sudden, Bob is now labeled as that kind of person. Number seven, in fact, most people will still feel negative thoughts towards Bob because how could so many people be wrong? You know, that's the problem. Once the gossip goes around, so many people are saying it and thinking that people have this sense, well, you know, I can see one person being wrong, but everyone has had this experience. Everyone thinks this. And so it's really hard to undo it. Well, as a manager, how do you create what I would call a Matthew 18 culture? How do you stop this gossip thing from happening? We know what we should do, but it doesn't seem to work. So number one, people should not gossip. I mean, that's what the scripture says. We should not be talking negatively about anyone behind their back. Okay, but the problem is when a person is hurt by another or offended, most hurt people cannot help but go to a caring friend with their hurt. They should go directly to the person who hurt them. That's what Matthew 18 says. But when a person is hurt, they have no control. It's like the doctor when he has a hammer and he hits you on your knee and your whole leg springs up. You have no control over that. Someone hits you there and your knee immediately springs up. And that's the way hurt is. Someone offends you and you're hurt. You immediately want to go to somebody. And why not go to someone who cares? Why not go to somebody who's going to be sympathetic towards your hurt? And you're not going to be able to control that. You are going to do that. We can say you shouldn't do that. We can say, you know, you shouldn't gossip. You should go directly to the person. But that's just what's going to happen. Hurt people are going to seek out sympathetic people. So the fix to this problem is not a ban on gossip. I mean, we should try to not to gossip, but it's going to happen. But what we should do is ban on listening to gossip. Because the person to whom the hurt person goes to with the hurt, he must not listen to the complaint. And really, they're in a position to not listen. See, the hurt person is hurt and they can't help it. But if you come to me with your hurt, see, I'm not hurt. I still have some control. So how do we do this? Instead, the caring would-be listener, the person that the hurt person goes to, should say to the one who got hurt, "All right, before you say anything negative about someone who is not here to defend themselves, let me ask you a question. Did you talk to the person that hurt you directly? If you did, and it didn't go well, and now you want me to go with you to talk to that person, that's the second step of Matthew 18, then okay, I will listen. But if you have not talked to the person directly, then please do so before saying anything to me. Because, you know, frankly, I don't want you to say something negative to me. Because if you tell me something negative about Bob, Sue, if you tell me something negative about Bob, what am I supposed to do with that? I can't go to Bob now and say, "Hey, by the way, Bob, I was talking to Sue and Sue said this negative thing about you, but is that true?" Because Bob will go, "Well, why are you listening to gossip?" So I am now stuck with all this negative thoughts about Bob and there's nothing I can do with it. Sue can at least do something about her negative thoughts. She can go directly to Bob. I mean, it happened to Bob. She witnessed it. She can confront him. She can say something. But I, the one listening to the gossip, I can't do anything with it. So now I'm stuck with this information about Bob. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true. And there's nothing I can do about it. So I need to stop. When someone starts talking negatively about someone else, I need to stop them in their tracks. I know you're hurt. I know this is a thing that's bothering you, and I want to be a part of the solution as best I can, but I need to know if you've talked to them or not. And if you've not talked to them, then please go talk to them first. And if you don't get satisfaction, then please come back to me. So if everyone in the organization did this, the gossip would stop and people would start learning how to share their grievances directly with the person who they think hurt them. See, that's the problem. The problem is we don't think that is going to work. Someone hurts me, I don't think talking to them is going to do any good, and I need to go somewhere with my hurt, so I go to someone else. But we need to get over that. We need to face it, and we need the whole community forcing us. Look, you need to go directly to them, and chances are it'll get fixed. Most times when grievances are dealt with directly, they can be solved to the satisfaction of both parties involved. Now no one else knows, no one else is involved. We don't have to go around and correct anything. End result, you end up with an organization where people can say what they think. I can say stuff freely, and I know that if I indirectly or, you know, beyond my control somehow, I end up offending you, that you will tell me. That you won't go to someone else. That if I say something wrong, you will come and we can somehow resolve. People are not worried about what others are saying behind their backs. Honest communication results in better ideas and solutions to to problems. If we can honestly talk and not fear about what people are going to do with what we say or construe or misunderstand, and it goes around, if I know that we can deal with all these things, then I can say exactly what I think, you can say what you think, and now we can honestly deal with the problems and the issues that we're facing. Number four, you end up with a mature organization rather than an infantile one. I mean, when the gossip is going around an organization, it's like little children. We're like little children talking about each other. You know, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so doesn't like so-and-so. It's like little kids on a playground. Instead, we have a mature organization where we can tell the truth, and if offended, we can actually do something about it, and we can resolve all these problems.